Today I want to tell you how God promises you a successful life. Now, before you take a closer look at me and say, you know, he doesn't look like a television preacher from Texas, I just want you to think again of that statement. God promises you a successful life. Do you agree or disagree with that statement? Now, you may be thinking to yourself, you know, I'm just a college student. I really haven't started living yet. How could I be considered to have a successful life? Or maybe you're thinking, you know, I just teach or work at this really tiny college in southern Minnesota. It's not like it's Yale or something. How could I be considered successful? Or maybe you're thinking, you know, I live in a really tiny apartment and I drive a real clunker of a car. How could I be considered successful? But do you realize when you think that way, whose standards of success you're using? The world has definite ways of measuring success, some of which may or may not be valid. But in our Bible reading for today, God spells out how he defines success. Let's listen to our reading for this morning, which is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is God's word. In short, the way to be blessed, the way to be successful in God's eyes is to be planted in God's word. Now, if you plant yourself somewhere else, things will not turn out well for you. You will not be blessed, that is. Do you see the progression of this person who is not blessed? How he gets himself into more and more trouble? He starts off by walking in the counsel of the wicked. Now, we've all done that, gone along with what the world says is okay. We figure that if everyone else is doing it or enough people are doing it, it must be okay to do. And then we live in a culture that is not that great. We're surrounded by a culture that promotes more and more violence and sex on whatever screen we're watching. A culture that says that biblical standards are antiquated. A culture that says we have to be tolerant of whatever lifestyle someone wants to live. A culture that places much value on wealth and fame. And it's easy enough to say, well, you know, that's just the world around me. Those things, they don't affect me, not that much. But is that true? Don't we go ahead and watch that inappropriate video because, well, there are parts of it that are funny? Don't we turn a blind eye to certain sins because we don't want to appear to be intolerant or hypocritical? We can walk in the counsel of the wicked with the best of them. And then we progress to standing in the way of sinners. Who are the people around us? What are their values? Now, obviously, if we were to surround ourselves with drug dealers and prostitutes, we probably would be affected negatively. And sure, it's easy on this Christian campus to say that we're surrounded by people who are decent people. We're surrounded by people who are saints, not sinners. But you know what you're like deep down. You know the thoughts that you have, the thoughts that are so vile and disgusting you never thought that you could be that disgusting in your thoughts. You know the hatred and the envy that you have in your heart for someone that you think has it better than you do. And those same thoughts are in the person that you room with, the person who's sitting right next to you. But are you fighting against those thoughts or are you relishing them? And do you progress to sitting in the seat of scoffers. At this point, you've made yourself at home with your sin. You figure that this is your life. This is your situation. You like your life the way it is. You like doing whatever it is you want to do because it makes you happy. And again, this is the person who is not blessed, which means that he is cursed, which means that you and I, if we stay in that state, are condemned by God. We are on the highway to hell. But that's only if you plant yourself among the sinners of this world. If instead you are planted in God's word, if you delight in the law, in the word of the Lord, God will bless you. God will give you life. Note the imagery that God uses to describe the person whom he blesses. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. Can't you just picture that setting surrounded by lush grass, a nice cool stream running right next to you? You're enjoying life, not a care in the world. Well, my life is not that idyllic either. But what the psalmist describes is someone who is planted in God's word. Now, in the Middle East of Jesus' day, it was vital to have water, very much a desert climate where he was from, because plants need water to survive. It doesn't matter if we're talking about a house plant or fields full of crops. They need water to survive. And the same thing is true for us physically. We need water to survive. And the same thing is true for us spiritually. We need water. We need God's word to survive. That's where that water comes from God himself. In our baptisms, he took our sins and washed them clean with a stream of water that never ends. He washed us clean of our sins, giving us life instead of death, making us new people, taking our sins and removing them as far as the east is from the west. He forgives us for planting ourselves among sinners, and he takes us and plants us instead in his word. And his forgiveness doesn't stop there. It's not like we were baptized and forgiven and then that's it. No, we are planted in God's word. That stream of water that came over us, that rushed over us in our baptisms, is still right here, right now, with us all the time. Every time that we confess our sins, every minute of every day, that water washes our sins away. That's how we prosper, as verse 3 says. That's how we're successful, because God has brought us out of death into life, because he has made us who were sinners into his people, into his saints. Every time we read his word, that water refreshes us. Every time we hear his word, that water takes our sins away. Every time we share his word, we are sharing that water with someone else. And what a privilege it is to be planted in God's word. Now we live our lives confident in knowing that there is no sin that is so great that can entangle us so much that God can't forgive us. God plants us in his word. And by doing so, he gives us life that continues forever. Amen.